Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter, Teron Davenport. And Teron, before we begin, we want to congratulate you on your new contract with ESPN. Well deserved. We're so glad you will continue to bring us outstanding insight on the local professional football team moving forward.
Hey, well, thank you very much, man. I'm excited to be back, and going to be a very exciting 3 years and more to come.
So, of course, the big news of the day, Teron, Will Levis will be undergoing season-ending shoulder surgery on the shoulder he injured early last season. What was your reaction upon learning about this, and have you learned any additional information over the past few hours?
Yeah, no, it made me kind of think back to some of the conversations that we were able to have with him after practice during minicamp, and I did recall him saying that he did have some soreness, but he just kind of like chalked that up to, hey, you know, you're back throwing again, you're going to have that. But I guess it turned out that soreness actually caused him to seek some additional medical opinions. And one of the results that he got back, it suggested doing the surgery. And he was really hoping, because I remember last year, you know, around the time when it came out that the injury was a pretty serious one, he had talked about how he wanted to avoid surgery. And he had the surgery on his left shoulder, and he said he didn't like the process. And obviously getting a knife, you know, put onto your throwing shoulder is never something you really want. So he was trying to avoid that through rest and rehab, and hope that over the off season, you know, getting some of that would allow him to be able to move forward with this season. But I mean, you have to wonder, right? I mean, I know he didn't say so, but the timing of this and not getting a trade and getting an opportunity to, you know, prove himself somewhere else, knowing the competition was just that, a quotation marks competition, you have to wonder about the timing of this and if it's something that kind of was tied into him, you know, not truly getting an opportunity to compete with Cameron Ward for the starting job.
That leads me directly into my next question, Teron, because the word we have used to describe this decision is strategic. So had Will Levis felt he could realistically compete for the starting job, based on what you know, do you think he would have opted against having this surgery?
Yeah, I do think he would have opted against it if he felt he had a true chance. I thoroughly believe that to be the case, because I think when you look at this, right, last year he wanted to play through the injury, and he attempted to play through the injury. You remember the Colts game where he tried to come back, and it wasn't successful.
Teron, what do you think is next for Will Levis and the Titans from this standpoint? Because obviously, he's on IR, more than likely has no chance of coming back. So do you think that next year, because I believe this is it for Will Levis, and not in a bad way. I think he just needs another place, and this helps facilitate that, because now he can come back and say, I'm fully healthy and ready to go, and maybe the shoulder was part of why I wasn't playing well during the season. But where do you think he's headed now? Do you think he will get a legitimate shot at being a starter in this league, or do you think he will remain a backup, and do you think the Titans can potentially get something for him?
Yeah, I think the Titans will get something for him. It's unfortunate for him, because if everything was okay and he didn't, in fact, need the surgery, or he'll be able to play, this offseason or the preseason was a real opportunity for him to kind of show and prove. And I think you look at both situations, right? You look at Atlanta and you look at Tampa. Obviously, he wouldn't get a starting opportunity there. But if I'm Tampa, I definitely would think about trading for him, you know, especially after seeing him in joint practices. If he did well there and did well during the preseason game, I think that would have been an opportunity. But, I mean, look, this is a decision he made, and so now he's going to have to at least have a clean bill of health right after the surgery and work his way back and just see what he could do. Maybe Jacksonville, right, because of familiarity with Liam Cohen. But do the Titans make a in-division trade? Or I think you look at the Rams, right, with the Matthew Stafford. He's not getting any younger, and, you know, their backup situation is not the most ideal.
Now, there's two guys starting on PUP. Most importantly, I think because of what has happened throughout this whole year or last year, it's L'Jarius Sneed. Now, TD, there seem to be mixed messages, at least from where I sit. Because on one hand, it was asked of L'Jarius Sneed at his camp in Louisiana, hey, how are you feeling? And he says, I feel great. I haven't felt better. But then on the other hand, the Titans are putting him on PUP, and I understand the PUP, but they're saying, well, he's set to play basically opening game of the season, but we don't know when he's going to practice. That, what is going on with this? Because to me, those are two mixed messages, and I'm not faulting L'Jarius Sneed for it. I'm just saying L'Jarius Sneed says one thing, but Titans, you're telling us something else.
And that's the thing. There's a clear and obvious disconnect somewhere. And, you know, naturally as a player, if you feel like you're close or you're there, you're going to say that. So I understand him saying that. But I think this decision, I think it's more of a team-based decision. Now, this is not going off of any reporting. This is just me saying what I believe to be the case. And I think they're just bringing him along slowly. And you got to remember, even when healthy, right, there was a degree of load management for him anyway in trying to keep those knees righteous. And I think that's something to consider also.
Teron Davenport is with us. And Teron, along those lines, because of the position he plays and because of the history, I feel like I'm not quite as concerned about precisely when Sneed starts to practice as I am with Cushenberry, Lloyd Cushenberry. And so I want to get your gauge on how long that would be, because with the rookie quarterback and the shuffling of the offensive line, we know reps are important in practice for a center. So what are you looking at there?
Yeah, reps are very important in practice, especially for that center quarterback exchange. The good thing is Cushenberry, his locker is right next to Cam Ward's. They have already spent extensive time watching film together. And I tell you, even without Cushenberry, if you go back to practice during OTAs and minicamp, you know, there were a couple of times where Cam Ward, like, he recognized the pressure. He talked to the O-line. They changed the package, the protection package, and he changed the route, and they got good results. So that's just something for them to build on. But there's nothing like being out there together and sweating and you know, going through that process of training camp together. That's a bond that's created. So hopefully for their sake, Cushenberry could get out there soon. I do know that he spent extensive time on that third field working out and getting some things in order. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's back, you know, maybe after a week of camp, and he remains optimistic about being there for the season opener. And we know that's against his former team, the Denver Broncos.
We've got 7 weeks, so it does seem like you've got some time to still have some ample practice time and reps. So do you think we'll get a clearer picture this week of what their goal is? Or do you think, because what PUP does is, it, if you want to go this way, you can just say he's on PUP. We'll discuss that player when he comes off of the PUP. But do you think we might learn what the goal is of how soon into the 7 weeks we might see either one on the field?
Yeah, I'm not so sure. That's for sure a question that I'll be asking tomorrow, right? You know, what's going on? We thought that Sneed was good to go, and apparently not. So, yeah, I'll be asking that, absolutely.
So, Teron, back to Levis for a moment. You know, and hearing you're I'm sure, going back through all of the chapters of this, and what we're trying to get a sense of is how much better – or worse, is the shoulder today, on the day that he decides to have the season-ending surgery, than it was during the season last year? Because that's I think, the most intriguing part of this is the what if. I wonder if he's looking back and saying, you know what, I should have shut it down either during the season last year or at the very latest at the end of the season last year. So he would have been that much further ahead in the rehab.
Yeah, I think it's definitely better than it was at the time. It's an AC joint. And, you know, anytime with those impact type of injuries, the best thing is rest, right? So he went through a period of rest, you know, during the offseason before he went and got with Jordan Palmer, you know, and then he worked through the rehab process. And, I mean, he said he felt good, but, again, like he admitted to some soreness. So I think, you know, the timing is definitely something to raise an eyebrow at. But I think it's really just from here where he's like, look, man, I'm not about to risk re-injuring this shoulder, getting mop-up duty or, you know, running scout team for them all year. I'd rather get the surgery done and be completely clear and back and ready to go with another opportunity wherever that should be.
It was so unclear what the Titans' goal was for Levis, whether they really wanted him to be the backup or whether this was okay in a scenario for them. They're paying for his rehab. They're going to keep him on the roster, even if he doesn't count against the roster. So they must think enough of him to do that. But they sort of table everything. So I'm wondering if you're Levis, in a worst-case scenario, I could have seen a scenario where he got cut for that. So do you think that played a part in the decision? Did we lose Teron?
Did we lose him? We may.
Did you get that, Teron?
We'll get back in touch with Teron Davenport. We lost Teron. That's
a
bummer.
That's a bummer. We discussed this in the first hour of the show, but I do wonder if Will Levis looked at it and say, my shoulder's not perfect. Mm-hmm. It's bothering me, and I need to be at 100%. But in a worst case, if I'm hedging my bets, best case, okay, I win the backup job. Worst case, I get cut, and I don't have a job. But this ensures that he is getting paid this season and hopefully is on his way to being a better quarterback next season. That's what the hope is when you get your shoulder fixed.
Yeah, but like you said, he has to make sure that this offseason, you know, do we have TD back?
Yeah, we do. Let's go back to Teron Davenport on our phone line. Sorry we dropped you there, Teron. Willie, continue with
TD,
your question.
I don't know if you got my question, but I was laying out if you're Will Levis and you're looking best case, worst case, the worst case would be his shoulder's bothering him and he doesn't play well and he becomes a casualty of the roster with Brandon Allen and everything they've got. So do you think that played into his decision of kind of hedging his bets and saying, I'm going to ensure I have a paycheck and I'm hopefully making myself a better quarterback for next year?
Absolutely. That's basically what I just said, right? You're going to, instead of toiling in backup duty, you're going to go ahead and rehab, get the surgery and rehab. And at this time next year, hopefully for his sake, he's in an opportunity that's more conducive to him being a starter. What happens if Aaron Rodgers retires and Pittsburgh grabs him, right? You know, there's different opportunities throughout the league.
I guess what I was asking you is, did you think, based on what you saw, that he was competing just for a roster spot? Was there a scenario he could have gotten cut with the presence of Allen?
Oh, no. I don't think he would have gotten cut. There's no way. I mean, he's a guy that has starting experience in this league, relatively inexpensive contract. It would have been foolish to me to cut him, and I think he showed that he was going to be a good soldier and right support Cameron Ward. And just the thing he said that I love the most is he said, look, I'm just going to keep my head down, continue working, and do my best to be ready to play quarterback when I'm asked to. And I think that's all you could ask for someone in that situation.
So in that scenario, That to me would have been best case scenario for him. Allen would be cut?
When I submitted my 53, man, I had Allen cut, and I figured that they would bring him back on the practice squad.
So now he becomes more of a focus for everybody because mm-hmm. you do have to wonder if you can, you know, it's a challenge for any quarterback to play 17 straight games, especially a rookie. So give me your thoughts on what we're going to see from Brandon Allen. I do not have a mental picture of him like I do for some other backups where you've at least seen him play in some other scenarios. So what are they getting?
Listen, he's a serviceable player. Like, it's not like we're looking at a guy that's going to come in and you know, do what Nick Foles did for the Eagles back in 2017. Like, don't even expect that. So pretty much this is what it comes down to, right? If they're able to make it through the season with Cam Ward taking most, if not all, of the snaps, hey, that's great. If not, you know, and you have, you know, a guy like Brandon Allen come in, you know, especially for extensive time, it just comes down to, okay, how much patience is the front office going to have with Brian Callahan? Because if you have Brandon Allen playing, your chances of winning go down. Let's just keep it 100, right? And so that being said, how much patience are they going to have, and how much are they going to be invested in stability for Cameron Ward? And that's why I asked so many times, you know, before the draft and after the draft about the importance of stability, because that's what Mike Borgonzi saw in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. You know, that's what Chad Brinker saw in Green Bay, you know, with Aaron Rodgers and then Jordan Love. And then you look at what, you know, Brian Callahan saw with Joe Burrow and hanging on through the rocky times. I mean, they ended up with a top five pick, right? The number five overall pick. So if they could have patience and the Titans could get, you know, a top pick, you know, there's some good receivers coming out. I mean, you look at, you know, like Antonio Williams from Clemson. You got Jacoby Lane from USC. I mean, there's a lot of guys. Arizona State, Jordan Tyson. I mean, there's some guys that could come in and, hey, you know, possibly be not that Jamar Chase, but be that other young receiver that they could grow with their quarterback.
Teron Davenport with us. Two more quick ones for you, TD. As you mentioned, Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi will address reporters tomorrow at the start of camp. There will be a lot of questions about Will Levis. As you said yourself, there'll be questions about Legarius Sneed. What else do you want to know from Brinker and Borgonzi tomorrow?
That's the bulk of it, but I would also like to know, you know, about the approach to the season. Like, how patient are you guys going to be with Ward? And at what point, you know, how many growing pains are you going to go through? At what point, you know, are you going to look at it and say, hey, well, I guess it's kind of, they've already said it with Levis going on IR with the surgery. I was going to say, at what point do you just say, okay, this is Cam Ward and there's no turning back? But they pretty much did that already.
Last one for you, Teron. You've been at this a long time. You've covered countless training camps. As you know, every camp, there is a silly storyline or controversy that arises that you will look back on and say, I can't believe we wasted so much oxygen talking about this silly storyline or controversy. So I want you to predict what you think that silly storyline or controversy will be at Titans training camp over the next month.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something revolving around the first Cam Ward interception. It's going to be either the overreaction to it or to that or to the first touchdown. And I always, and this is something I tell my buddy, my good friend Jarrett Stillman, I tell him all the time, it's never as good as you think it is, and it's never as bad as you think it is.
Do you think you're making any headway, TD, with that? Because I feel the same way as you do. I don't think we're getting anywhere.
Yeah. No, it's as good as – I might as well tell these pair of Jordan 3s I got on now. I might as well tell them the same thing. I have
the retention of them is about the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us as he does every week. Teron, great stuff as always. Can't wait to actually have practice to talk about. Once again, congratulations on the new contract with ESPN. We're so happy for you and glad that you will be continuing to provide your outstanding insight for us here in Nashville.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, fellas. Take it easy.
But of course. He is dead on right about the overreaction, because
oh, yeah.
Every quarterback, I'll never forget when Ryan Tannehill, who was the backup to Marcus Mariota, had a practice against the Patriots where I think he went for like 2-for-17 or something, and everybody was talking about this. And he wasn't even supposed to be the starter. And of course, as we know, it turned out pretty well for Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. But the hype of every rep for the first overall pick in his first year. We're going to hypersensitive, overanalyze everything. It's like more than Will Levis and more than Marcus Mariota. Don't you think? For where they are, like everything is riding on this guy.
So of course.
We have to try to do what Teron is saying.
Yeah.
We know Jared won't. Mm-hmm. Can we? Like, we feel like we're more rational. We're all laughing. Yeah, Jared will never do that. No, will we do it?
I don't think we will.
Like, we got to stop ourselves.
Yeah, I like to think that I'm quite level-headed.
Exactly. I like to think that, you know, I know the ebb and flows of the league. And like you said, sometimes, and majority of the times, it's not as good or as bad as what you think. But there are some times when it is extremely bad or extremely good. So
615-737-1025. We will get to your reaction next. We will revisit the story of the day. Will Levis out for the season. Surgery on his right shoulder. We will touch on that and more and take your reaction. Coming up next at 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Clay. Clay, do Chase and Big Joe know that you're calling a different show?
Nope.
They weren't on today, so maybe they don't know, but I just want to know if they know.
Same channel. It's more against the rules, I guess, when you go down or up.
I suppose.
I don't call in, you know, much to this show, but I always enjoy calling in. And, you know, last time I got accused of calling just to talk to Woody. Just to talk to Willie, since I'm a Vanderbilt fan. Willie is not there today, correct?
He's right
no,
here.
No, he's here.
Okay, there you are, Willie.
Now you can change your questions and direct them toward Willie. No, I'm just messing with you. Go ahead.
You know, I tell you this all the time, and I met you when y'all did a remote down at, I believe it's called Jackson's, on Broadway, mm-hmm. When Caroline was on the show.
Yes.
Do you remember that, Willie?
Sure.
That means
yeah.
No.
That's when I met D-Mace. Mm-hmm. And, Derek, I've told you this before, but I went to Steve's funeral, and I can only imagine what that was like for you, you know, because he was a brother to you. He's a teammate. I was actually at the AFC Championship game in Jacksonville. I remember the punt return you had, and you and Keith Bullock were my guys back in the day.
Thank you.
I wore your jersey to one game, Keith to the other one, and I know Keith is still in the area. And Willie, you know this. I think it's really cool that a lot of Titans still live here in Nashville, just like there's a lot of former Vanderbilt basketball players that still live here in Nashville. I just think that's really cool, being, you know, a proud Nashvilleian since I was born here. I had a couple questions for you, Derek. On the Will Levis thing, if he's out for the year, and I just heard that in the car, you know, maybe 10 minutes ago when I was driving home listening to the show. So my question is, has Will Levis played his last down for the Tennessee Titans?
Thank you for the call, Clay.
Thank you, Clay, and thank you for your kind words as well. I think it is. You know, I think for Will Levis, it needs to be, because if Cam Ward does what I think the organization expects him to do, you will never be underneath center here. And that's good, for at least for the organization, because now they've gotten their quarterback. But that doesn't mean that Will Levis can't play anywhere else. So unfortunately, I think, yeah, the last time you saw Will Levis underneath center, that is the last time I think you're going to see him play for the Tennessee Titans. I could be wrong, but I think all this is setting up for Will Levis to either be traded next year somehow, some way. You know, release. I can't – release is probably the last resort, so to speak. But, yeah, I expect him not to be on the roster next year.
Go ahead, Will.
Oh, I just still feel like I'm not ready to say this is it because of how – difficult it is, and we might find out this year about Brandon Allen and whoever they end up playing behind Cam Ward if Ward has to miss some games. And the probability is he's going to miss some games. It's hard to play 17 straight, especially as a rookie. I'd like to. This is one of your projects, Adam. How many rookie quarterbacks have started every game in their rookie season? I would bet you it is less than 60%, if not less than 50%. I think we could even boil it down to if you're the opening day starter. Like, well, not guys like Dan Marino who came in and went wild after three or four games and then became the starter after that.
Quickly, both Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels started all 17 games last season.
Okay. I would still say if we put the whole list together, it's not likely.
I've got a homework assignment.
With Will Levis, he's going to be a cheap option as a backup next year. That will be their prerogative. If he's healthy, he would be a cheap option as the backup next year.
He's not going to – unfortunately, Willie, he's going to demand a trade.
Trade?
Yes, for this reason.
You're on the phone and I say, I demand a trade? You're going to be like, what?
Listen.
You can't demand anything. We're not in a position to do anything.
He just
rehabbed your shoulder.
He's going to – they didn't rehab his shoulder. He decided to go get the surgery.
Who's paying for it?
His insurance. The NFL is paying for it.
Yeah,
the NFL is paying for it. So, listen.
He's getting paid by the Titans.
He's going to demand a trade, not in public, but he's going to be behind the closed doors demanding a trade. Why? Because he knows his contract is coming up.
He has no leverage.
No, what I'm saying is that he's never going to play. He is never going to play.
How do we know that?
Listen, if Cam Ward comes out
and gets hurt,
barring injury.
Injury is a very real thing
How many times in this league is a starting quarterback really going to get injured? Because they protect them so well that they're not, unless it's some fluke injury, they're not going to, they protect these guys to every end. So him getting, more quarterbacks are staying healthy now, I believe, than ever. So with that being said, Will Levis knows that he will not be, unless there's a colossal fail of Cam Ward, he will not see underneath center again. If I am a guy that wants to start in this league, I am asking for a trade. I don't want to be on the squad next year. I want to be somewhere else. The Titans probably would hold on to him if worse came to worse.
And so that comes down to what is his value? Like, are people calling and saying, yes, I'll trade you
something? That's why he's doing the surgery now. That's why he's doing it now.
Well, that's going to be the question, is does he have value for trade? Because then I can see the Titans going, at least we're getting something for him. But if there's no trade value, as that's the case right now, then I would not meet his demand of being traded. It's like, Will, I'd like to trade you. Nobody wants you.
I'll try to meet his
demand. I'd love to trade you. Nobody wants you. Prove to me you can play. Earn the backup job.
How is he going to prove to you that he can play when, even if he earns the backup role?
That's the backup. That's the job. That is what we want you to be, the backup.
He will never see the day of light, okay?
You're saying that Cam Ward will never get injured.
What I'm saying is this. Cam Ward, he will never see underneath center for the Tennessee Titans.
As the starter.
Again.
But you need a backup.
Somebody else going to be a backup. It's not necessarily that I don't believe Will Levis can come back fully healthy and truly earn that backup role. What I'm saying, Will Levis wants to be a starter. He wants to be a starter. He's not going to get a chance to show anything because you only got two preseason games. And
do you think somebody will bring him in as a starter coming off of shoulder surgery?
Just like, because, listen, he's not Drew Brees. I understand that, so people don't think I'm comparing him to Drew Brees. But I am from an injury standpoint. Drew Brees had the same thing happen. Because Drew Brees put a lot on film, then New Orleans made the trade for him. I'm not saying that he's Drew Brees. What he wants is, once I rehab this shoulder, once I show y'all in camp that I'm ready to go, trade me. Because I want to be a starter. So if I show you enough in camp that I'm ready to go, because teams want to know is, can he throw the football? That's all they want to know. They don't want to know if he can beat out the second guy that's there already. Can you throw the football, Will Levis, now that you have shoulder surgery? Yes, I can. Well, let me see you do it, consistently for about a month or two. Well, he can throw football. Now let's make a trade for him. But until then, I'm not. Like you said, I'm not going to give anything for him. I got to prove he can get back on the field first.
One texter, Clay said that he doesn't think that Will Levis is ever going to take a snap, or asked us if we think that Will Levis will ever take a snap for the Titans again. One texter says, I still believe that we will never see Levis in a regular season NFL game again.
I will take
preseason
2 minutes.
Next year, yes, you will see him in a game, but that's just, we're setting up so we can trade you.
So do you agree with this texter that we will never see Levis in a regular season NFL game again? Not for the Titans, and for any team
I don't agree with that.
We need to talk about some of the players that played in NFL games last year? Marcus Mariota, still playing games in the NFL. Josh Dobbs, still playing games in the NFL. Tim Boyle played games in the NFL last year. He's on the Titans now. Tanner McKee, Brandon Allen, Skylar Thompson,
Tommy DeVito,
Bailey Zappi, Tyrod Taylor, still playing in the NFL. Carson Wentz,
Malik Willis,
Hendon Hooker, Nick Mullins, A.J. Cole III. You ever heard of that guy?
No.
Okay.
Mike White. Guys, stay in the league.
I get what you're saying.
Will Levis is going to be in the league.
Oh, of course he's going to be in the league.
But nobody's going to trade him to be their starter. He's got to get real with that. He needs to become a better option than these guys that I'm mentioning.
Willie, he's not going to get a chance to become a better option for the Titans. Why? Because he's going to miss a whole year.
Why not? They need a backup next year.
I'm telling you.
Unless Brandon Allen becomes really good.
I'm about to explain to you. He's not going to be the backup next year for this reason. One, because I think if Brandon Allen doesn't play at all this season and he shows a little bit during preseason, Brandon Allen would be the backup quarterback this year and next year. We got him signed for, I think they got him signed for a 2-year deal, I believe. But he will be the backup this year and next year. Will Levis ain't going to be the backup. As long as Brandon Allen shows a little bit of something and he never plays during the season, then why would I keep Will Levis? I don't need to.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction on Will Levis being out for the season. We're going to wrap up the show next, first by providing an important update from our show on Friday. And there is also an update from the fallout of the NFLPA leadership scandal, we'll call it that, that we just have to discuss. And we will do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Stillman and Company coming up next. Jared back from vacation again. I don't anticipate a vacation in Jared's future now that football season is here.
It's ramping up for him now.
Are we sure?
It's ramping up for him now.
I can't be sure, but okay. We will find out. But Jared,
I can be sure.
Yes.
I'll be sure.
Jared will be back in just a matter of moments. But first, we want to provide an update on a story that a lot of you apparently took interest in on Friday. Willie solicited advice about a mouse problem in his home. We received a ton of texts, including one from
a professional
in the pest control space. They even said, Willie, if you have questions, call me over the weekend. That same person texted in wanting to know, did you catch the mouse, Willie Donick?
We caught a mouse.
So I took that to the bank because
you
my
did.
Take it to the bank was
correct.
Willie's going to catch the mouse.
And it's quite striking when you open the drawer and there he is.
Did you take the peanut butter advice?
Yes, okay. We did. So the peanut butter tip was good. So I don't feel like we have completely closed the door on this issue.
But you have sent a message.
Look, I got no problem with the mice. I want them to live their life, just not in our house. You can hang out outside the house.
We can be buddies outside.
Hang outside the house.
You can lauder all outside the house all you want.
I mean, even if you occasionally come into the basement, okay. You know, that just don't do it. Don't let us see you.
Exactly.
You know, the mice.
Just hide out.
Yeah. And to their credit, the mice, they've been pushing the envelope. We've never seen one. Mm-hmm. I had never seen one in the house.
You just saw.
That's a new level. If you see one in the house.
Oh, yeah, that messes you all up.
We only had evidence that they had gotten to a certain place in our house. And so we had to take action.
But you nipped it in the bud.
Well, we got one. We got one. So how many more are there? There's probably some more.
Probably some more.
Willie, you
and that's where I might need to consult the professionals.
Willie, you have, birds chasing you in your area?
Deer.
You have the mice.
I still, for all the Eastsiders, there's a deer and a baby deer. Mm-hmm. Hanging out in the East Nashville. They just pictures pop up around town, around the neighborhood. So they're hanging out. I don't know what's going on. Who's feeding them? Where are they?
Adam.
Are we doing anything?
These deer. Adam, have you seen them yet? I have not.
Just one.
Any other sightings on Ed the Zebra? Has Ed the Zebra been contained?
Back out?
Or has he escaped once again? We haven't heard anything about Ed the Zebra.
No.
But the texters wanted an update on the mouse. You have caught the mouse. You have sent a message to all the other mice.
Yes.
That the Donick House is not friendly.
I offer a ceasefire. Like, well, I just peace. Just stay in your area. We're cool. I don't want to have to take any more action. Nobody wants
to. Willie, I think the animal world is coming at you. When you were going out, they heard about the turkey, and then the deer.
Ooh, I never thought about that.
Yeah. See. Not a mice.
You clip a turkey. We're coming in on your territory.
I was just an innocent bystander in all of this. I wasn't the one driving.
That's why I come into your house.
I was just the one screaming. Nate on our text.
I keep emphasizing the turkey was okay. He was clipped.
As far as we know.
Exactly.
Nate on our slightly injured.
Nate on our text line said we had mice/rats at a duplex we rented. The only reason I knew is because I had chocolate out and it all disappeared. Then we started seeing torn wrappers around the place. It was bad.
We haven't seen that level, but. I knock on wood.
Before we leave today, I just have to get to this. So the fallout from the NFLPA leadership, I called it a scandal. Lloyd Howell Jr. resigned as the executive director, correct, of the NFLPA. I just want to read to you this story written by Don Van Natta Jr. and Kalen Kaler in ESPN as a follow-up to the story of Lloyd Howell resigning. Quote, former NFL Players Association leader Lloyd Howell Jr. resigned after an outside investigator hired by the union received documents this week showing Howell charged the union for two visits to strip clubs, including a $738.82 car service that took him from the airport to one of the clubs. The documents are union-approved expense reports and receipts, which ESPN began asking questions about hours before Howell abruptly resigned late Thursday night. I just have to say, you almost have to admire the fortitude,
the gumption
of a certain body part to charge visits to a strip club to your company
and write down on the expense report. What does the expense report say?
One receipt obtained by ESPN shows Howell was picked up in a sedan by a car service at Fort Lauderdale International Airport on November 2nd, 2023 at 10:26 p.m. The car's first stop was at a nearby Miami Gardens address. The receipt shows only one other stop nearly 8 hours later at 6 a.m. when the car dropped off Howell at his luxury condominium in Sunny Isles Beach. A union finance worker noticed the car service's exorbitant cost. The employee searched online for the Miami Gardens address, discovering it was Tootsie's Cabaret. The 76,000 square foot venue bills itself as the world's largest strip club. Quote, full nude, number one rated.
But this is the best part, though. I guess on the expense report, he had to write down, you know, tell me, What is the reason for this expense? And he said,
player engagement event to support and grow our union.
Support and grow our union.
Something.
Okay.
To be fair.
All right.
To be fair.
No.
Emphasis on something was growing. Something was growing. Player engagement event to support and grow our union.
He has
player
to be.
Player engagement.
Listen,
okay.
They. All right. This is.
Very supportive.
This is something that this shows that he didn't care about the NFLPA and the funds or the individuals, because you went out, they're paying you $3 million a year. You couldn't use your own money to go to an establishment What probably happened was if he's got a significant other, he probably didn't want it on the credit card bill. So, again, because I can't tell you where to go and what, you know, that's your business. Right. You're an adult. But don't use the funds from the NFLPA. I wouldn't hire you to do anything else. As far as run a company, I wouldn't hire you to run a company anymore because you've shown you are irresponsible when it comes to the finances of the business. And the NFL, I think the PA, they need to be pressed on this too, because a couple, like what, 10, no more than 10 days to 2 weeks ago, they were saying, you know, there was almost
vote of confidence.
Yeah, vote of confidence backing them. And then all of a sudden now, it's crickets almost, you know. Yes. They're just moving
in
on.
In fact, they have now gone after and forced the resignation of the guy who hired Power.
J.C. Treader.
Right, because it does beg the question. You didn't see any of this? Mm-hmm. All of these red flags that were right there that it took not very long. Once they started digging, they found a lot of huge red flags. And so now you wonder who's next or where. Will it be a full-on shakeup? How will they just start over? Who will be the leadership of the NFLPA going forward? Because now you're basically starting from scratch, right?
Eric, so to speak, yeah.
Like who's running it now?
Don't know. I don't even know who's the intern.
who's the intern?
Until they can find somebody, because this is going to be a quick turnaround now, or maybe they just go with the interim for the year. And then do their vetting, and I'm sure that's what's going to happen. Put somebody in for the time being, and you know, I would nominate Dominique Foxworth, you know, because he's always been a part of the NFL PA, and you know, he knows extremely smart, knows the NFL, knows the players, played in the league a long time. And now he does, you know, television for ESPN. Right.
And
so
that,
he's
that
another
to me
guy.
Is an interesting angle because utilization of the media was a big issue in this sweeping under the rug of the collusion evidence that was right there for everybody to see. And if you had gotten the media behind it, which in past history, that's a tool for you to use, expose and tell everybody, look what they did. They are conspiring to keep us, the players, from getting what we think we can get, moving to the next level.
But now, you know what? Now this basically puts a blanket over the whole collusion thing. Because now you got this. A guy that helped collude
is
stealing the money, too.
And the owners are laughing, going,
exactly.
The guy taking the fall is the other guy, not us. Where that really, the focus should be that the owners colluded to keep the next level of guaranteed contracts from happening from the players, which would have, in theory, helped all of the players take a step forward in more benefits for their group, for their union.
But isn't it convenient that, okay, the NFL is pressed about the collusion that happened because that's they found out, but they didn't. They said it wasn't. They wasn't guilty of it, even though they said they did it. But anyway, so that comes out, and then all of a sudden, mysteriously, this guy, now what he's spending comes up. You didn't know that he spent this back then? You had to have known.
So he submitted it.
Exactly. He submitted it. You didn't realize that, wow, man, you spent 6 hours. We racked up six hours worth of charges. Where were you at? Let me see. Where did you go?
And you left the car there.
Exactly. Where did you go?
And that's on our dime?
So I think they knew it.
They must have.
Is their way of getting him out. And now we can get the attention away from the NFL and the owners. So there you go.
Let's end the show on a couple of texts. From Matt. Once had mice get into and eat half an ounce of pot. All the droppings were green.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm surprised you didn't see those mice just running out everywhere.
And then Eric in Buffalo. Grow the union, not grow the unit. And that'll do it for us today on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. We will be back, of course, tomorrow. at 11 o'clock, Mike Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, a.k.a. the Gonzi scheme. Rex Rowe doesn't like that because it doesn't have Brinker in it some way. Uh-huh. I think the Gonzi scheme is too good to mess up. Yeah. So the Gonzi scheme featuring Chad Brinker will address reporters at noon tomorrow. We will carry that for you live. Stillman & Company coming up next.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Monday. Peace.